I love it because I know you hate it and I get off on your tears.
I hate you making bets that you can win.
I hate everything about this.
Stop going up against me on these bets.
I just don't.
He's got an inside track. He knows folk.
I know. I just don't understand why this is the choice for a new Fallout game. Like,
it's a dump truck of money.
It's not a. Don't look at it as a new Fallout game. It's a spin-off Fallout game like Brotherhood of the Steel on PS2 or something like that. It's not a mainline game.
That game was awful.
Well, you know, they got to make money. Deal with it.
A dump truck of money.
A dump truck of money for.
They're not made of stone.
You know what would have made him a dump truck of money? Elder Scrolls 6.
No, I don't think so.
Really? You don't think so?
Maybe. I'm not a mind reader, but it's kind of moot because we're not getting it, so whatever. Oh, by the way, we're live. We've been live for like a minute.
Okay.
Oh, of course we are.
Hooray! We're live!
We're live. We can hear everyone be salt about Fallout 76.
Vault 76.
Cool.
What do you, all right, well, I mean, I guess that's a good enough reason to start. Chris, what's your hot take on Fallout 76?
Well, I have two thoughts shared for this one. Thought number one is that if it is like a battle royale or, you know, whatever, or PUBG, I'm not interested.
Well, I don't think it is that.
No, and everything I've read says it isn't. But if it is, you know, there's that. But on the other hand, if it's like Ark or Rust or any of the million survival crafting games, I could be intrigued about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Fallout lends itself to that. They tried a little bit with 4 and it sucks. It is really bad. So yeah. maybe they fixed it.
Maybe.
I don't know, but if they didn't fix it, maybe. But I'll tell you this much, if they didn't fix the engine.
Oh, it's 100% running on the same engine.
All bets are off.
We don't need to pretend that. That's 100% happening.
Good.
So much hate. So much. Just so much. I just can't even.
Can't even articulate.
I can't even. I really can't. The trailer was really cool. I was like, okay, that's rad. And I was like, that seems like it's got some really weird, awesome potential. And then online, whatever, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah. I don't know about that trailer. That trailer didn't tell me anything. Other than
the trailer tells you nothing.
It tells you absolutely nothing, but it's kind of cool. I like the whole little thing.
Yeah.
Fair enough, I guess.
But I don't like what it might be. But we will know soon, in like 2 weeks or whenever E3 is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping the biggest thing now for E3 for me is a new Metroid game and Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Cool.
That's it. Fuck everything else at E3. I don't care.
What about Shenmue?
Whatever, fuck that.
Josh, I guess what I need to talk to you about is managing your horrible expectations, because they're always awful. Like, always. Hey, guess who's in chat? It's our boy Brim.
Hey.
The better Brim.
Maybe. We'll put it up to a fan vote.
So are you telling me there's going to be no Metroid Prime for the Switch?
No, I 100% expect Metroid Prime 4 to be shown in some way.
Okay, and no Beyond Good and Evil 2?
No, we'll get it. Whether or not it's what you want a Beyond and Good and Evil 2 game to be, the last information we heard about it doesn't sound very promising.
Yeah, when was the last time we heard anything about it?
Looking it up now.
Maybe a year ago?
No. There it is.
Chew more to the mic.
Chew more towards the mic. Chomp, 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 chomp.
Be sure we can hear the wet chew.
Chris, you're the worst.
Nah, it's fine. I am a. Wikipedia says they were something last year.
Called it.
Okay, here it is. A developer live stream for Beyond Good and Evil 2 showcased some gameplay footage, showing off melee staff combat and ship maneuvering. However, they'd also confirmed that none of the characters from the first game are part of it, and you play as your own custom-created character.
Okay.
And you explore the origin of the human-animal hybrids. And it has online play. It's an online game similar to Destiny.
Online play. What's the online play?
It's like Destiny PUBG. Stuff. The whole game's like quasi-MMO style.
Why call it Beyond Good or Evil 2? I don't understand why you would call it that.
Players can own their own ships, increasing their scale and crew size as they go. Once your player has a larger ship, they'll be able to store smaller one-man dogfighting vessels in it. Environments will be somewhat destructible. Real-time meteor showers will impact entire portions of planets, which could potentially trigger missions and story events. There'll be extensive exploration.
No Man's Sky. Excuse me.
It's okay.
Beyond No Man's Sky, Good and Evil.
Or Star Citizen.
Oh, you mean, hey, Chris, how would you feel about paying me $27,000 to unlock some of my content?
I think Star Citizen may have the best scam in gaming.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. $27,000 DLC.
That's literal?
It's not even
that's 100% true.
Yeah, no, it's so it's.
I thought you were exaggerating. $27,000,
and you will be able to unlock a majority of the game's content and ships. Not all. $27,000 does not give you all. And apparently, you can't even access this DLC without having sunk in $1,000.
Best give me stock.
This game has grossed like $200 million,
and it hasn't even entered early access yet
on Kickstarter and like other funding. This game is the greatest scam, and no one talks about it. And everyone's just like, "Yeah, I gave Star Citizen like $500."
Everybody's getting conned. We live in an age where everyone is getting conned.
The answer is yes, Chris, because the game itself is never coming out.
Well, here's the thing. It's brilliant, because if you can get one person to drop $27,000 on fake ships, you may be a genius at that point.
Well, I mean,
someone's going to do it.
Good. Good for them. Milk people out of your money. And if you paid money on Star Citizen, you know.
You're a chump.
Are they getting to play anything?
It's like Alpha 33.
I mean, it's like EVE Online, but not actually existing.
Also, it's a game, not a spreadsheet thing. So, you know.
Yeah, it's like a closed system that's only the people that are paid in, right? Yeah,
I guess. It's also less interesting because there's no corporate backstabbing.
It's like, I thought the game looked really interesting. It looked like what I wanted No Man's Sky to be, but I wasn't about to pay $400 for ship, or that's not what I want to do. I want to play a game where you can go anywhere.
You can get elite, dangerous, whatever.
And take any mission, you know, and decide whether or not I want it to be a first-person shooter that day, or if I want to be a pilot that day, or whatever, you know. Like that, I thought that was all cool and where games needed to go. But, like, past that, I was like, I'll let everybody else beta test that. Give me the actual game once you're done. Yeah.
Have I got a game called Elite Dangerous? It is exactly that game.
I feel like they are done. They've been done for a long time. There's no reason to stop this model.
It works.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's good, kind of beside the point, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, all it takes is one person spending that money, and it's a worthwhile thing.
Pretty much. So that's that new hotness. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what up?
You know what else is that hotness?
Now what?
NPD numbers.
There's nothing people love more than stats.
Actually, you're wrong, because people do fucking love that stuff.
I said it. That's exactly what I said.
You said it sarcastically.
Oh, whatever, Dad.
Am I wrong?
No. Are you going to hit me for rolling my eyes next?
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what you
I
got?
I want you to try it. You come here.
Hey, Chris, look at me. Roll your eyes. Fuck you.
All right, well, words hurt like a fist.
Yeah, well, you know what? They should.
All right. Well, tell me what's sold. Tell me what's sold.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because It was a month of records. A month of absolute earth-shattering records.
All right, let's hear it.
So, okay, what do you think was the best-selling game of April?
The God of War.
100% it was God of War. Not only was it God of War, but God of War is the fastest-selling exclusive game in PlayStation history and the fastest-selling exclusive game on any PlayStation platform ever. And God of War itself helped push PlayStation to the greatest selling month for hardware since NPD started tracking sales of video game consoles.
That's pretty amazing.
Like, it's 100% deserved because God of War is great.
That is insane. And we just found out like a week or so ago that in its first month, God of War sold over 5 million copies.
Jeez.
Which for a single player, no DLC, no online multiplayer game in this day and age is practically unheard of.
Yeah.
Also, MLB The Show is the second best-selling exclusive of the year.
MLB is very good every year.
It's the silent workhorse of the PlayStation family. No one ever remembers it, but every year when it comes out, it is in the top three for like 6 months.
But it's also the only baseball game that's available.
Exactly, but you know,
official baseball
sells official. So well because they do so much for it.
Yeah,
you know, you could play as Babe Ruth like 2 years ago.
I did not.
Yeah, you can.
Also, interesting anecdote. Last month, Sea of Thieves was the number two selling game, and this month it had dropped all the way down to 18 and was beaten by Yakuza 6, a game that did not even track its own digital sales.
Interesting.
So, I have a question.
What's up?
When they track Sea of Thieves sales, they track Game Pass downloads?
They do not, but we did find out that 70% of all of the initial Game Pass subscriptions did not renew past their free trial date.
Oof.
Oh, that's rough.
That's rough.
So, we know that.
Microsoft needs to get some shit together, huh?
Gone.
Well, I have some thoughts on State of Decay in a bit, so
yeah,
we can talk about that because
speaking of State of Decay, it had 2 million players in its opening 3 days.
Wow!
Now it doesn't translate to sales, and it also includes Xbox and PC, but still, for a game that's not a AAA title, 2 million players in 3 days is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
So, what's your thoughts on that, President?
It's interesting because, you know, the original State of Decay was kind of charming, but it was also a little jank. I guess my biggest red flag is that there's a thing in the menu to be like, oh, you got stuck? Let's send you backwards in time 2 minutes to get you unstuck.
Huh.
And that tells me either A, you know, that there are so many glitches that there was just no time to fix them, or they just don't care. I just put this.
It's most likely a combination of the two.
Yeah. So that makes me a little wary. I think the base building and people gathering is pretty interesting. The combat, I think, is pretty terrible, and the car driving, I think, is not so great. But I've had fun when I played it with other people. Other people make the game better. On your own, it's not so great.
I think am I wrong in thinking that's kind of like Microsoft's MO right now? Games that are fun with other people but by yourself, not so great.
Yeah, it's like Sea of Thieves all over again.
Sea of Thieves, Crackdown, State of Decay.
I think Crackdown might be the exception. I think Crackdown is just as fun without other people.
Do you?
It's not worse without people. Let me rephrase.
I don't know. For me, it kind of got repetitive solo, but when you're playing with other people, it just becomes ridiculous.
Maybe. I don't know. I think of all of them, Crackdown was the one that stood better on its own without other people.
Okay.
But I think State of Decay is fine. I would not have bought it if I didn't have Game Pass.
That's fair.
Or I would have returned it by now.
Word.
But no, yeah. So, what else has sold good? Where's Grand Theft Auto? Is it around 5?
Grand Theft Auto is unstoppable. Grand Theft Auto 5 in the month of April was number 7.
Number seven.
And that's coming off. That's coming behind God of War, Far Cry 5. Far Cry 5 being the year's top-selling game so far. MLB The Show, Nintendo Labo, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which the Switch effect is in full effect. In 1 week, Donkey Kong outsold the lifetime sales of the Wii U version.
Wow. Didn't I see a graph online of some digital guy, and they posted their sales, and the Switch is ahead by like 700%?
Yeah. Oh, it's night and day what good marketing will do. Though I'll never understand how Nintendo, a multinational company, could have thought that what they did with the Wii U is smart.
But Matt, you don't think it's because of that amazing Zelda game?
No, I don't. Because Zelda's already been outsold by like numerous Switch games. So.
Okay.
But good troll. Good try. A plus for effort.
Yeah. When do you think Grand Theft Auto will drop off?
When Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
God.
How are people still buying that game, though?
They're not.
Here's the thing. They have done the numbers. You have to understand, every month, new PlayStation 4 and Xbox One sell.
That's true. So
every month, new people buy the game. Sales of Grand Theft Auto 5 are directly correlated with sales of consoles. What? What are we doing?
Nothing. Nothing. It's personal.
Oh. This time it's personal.
This time.
No, but yeah, sales of Grand Theft Auto 5 are directly correlated to sales of systems. So the more consoles that sell, the bigger a jump.
That makes sense.
Grand Theft Auto 5 gets. It's crazy.
And it's not even like they're tracking shark cards or...
No. It's just sales. No. They are. Because what it is the NPD stopped covering strictly copies sold, and now it's revenue generated.
When did we start talking about addiction? Because...
Where have you been? World of Warcraft's been out for like 10 years.
I know, but like, when are we going to start talking about it with Grand Theft Auto? Like, what if it's not really a good game? I'm just saying.
That's incorrect. It is a good game.
The online. Not the game itself. I'm just saying the where the money's being spent.
I don't know that there's any way to like really police that. If people are willing to spend $100 for a flying car, I mean... who's going to tell them no?
Is that not crazy?
It is crazy, but like, what are you going to do? I mean,
I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just like wondering, like, this is insane, right? Like,
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, it is, but you're not going to change anyone's mind if they're like, I'm going to get this flying fucking car.
Oh no, I'm not here to change anyone's mind. I just want to.
You just want to call them all crazy.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here that these people are crazy for spending this money on imaginary things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah, we all do.
All right.
We agree with you on that one.
Good.
We have nothing else in life.
Man. This is a tough day. This is a tough day, guys. Can we talk about something like really happy?
Like what?
Is there anything happy to talk about?
Is there?
Were there decent comic books?
Yeah.
Was anything?
Oh, man, were there? Holy crap. Hold on. This was
a... All right.
I like that.
Okay, good. All right.
You just said.
He has to go off and get the comic book. Yeah. Like, they were that good. Good. He didn't have them prepped.
He has to find them somewhere.
He's kind of like, he's looking.
Question. Did any of you guys get anything in the mail recently?
I did.
Yes. I got a save the date.
Save the date. You know, Kate's still very upset.
She's not written on the line.
Yeah, someone forgot to write Kate's name on the invitation, but that's probably my fault.
Cause she is the significant other. Her name was not on the card.
There you go. And that's also my fault because I was out of town and wasn't there to be like, here.
There, we're all waiting for Kate to break up with
him. I didn't blame myself.
It would have been upsetting if her name was still on there.
Oh.
What's ridiculous is that Kate's name is so unnecessarily complicated to spell that we just kind of gave up halfway.
I completely understand.
Her name is now plus one.
Oh, okay.
Kate plus one. this kind
a of plus one. Yeah. Also, Chris said he can't make it, which is
I told you I'd pencil you in.
Oh wow.
I am very busy. I'm swamped.
So swamped.
December's the busy season.
Yeah. So swamped.
I have to go to Technology Incorporated.
Yeah. So what's the good news, guys? Because Matt getting married isn't that great of news.
That's right. It's the best of news.
All right, Matt. Matt, did you get No Justice, number four?
I did.
I think this is the issue where everything really pulled together.
Really?
I do. I think this was the strongest issue.
Oh, no, it was. But I was going to say just – how shocked I am that Snyder put out a little miniseries that so thoroughly like failed to grab me for most of it.
I have found his non-Batman stuff very missable. I didn't really love Superman Unbound. I didn't really love the first three issues of this, but I think this is the issue that kind of, you know, pulled things together and got me excited for Justice League where I wasn't previously.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the trees of the tree thing and the Omega Titans, I think that's all dumb shit.
It's, yeah.
But you know what? It's like, I think Cyborg had my favorite line. It's like, I think someone's like, Cyborg, this is insane. He's like, Batman fought a dragon with magic metal. Insane is relative. And I think at that point I was like, yeah, you write comics.
Yeah, you're right.
All
this is crazy.
Yeah, you're right. So, Matt, did you get Kill or Be Killed, number 19, the penultimate issue?
You're damn right I did, son. And I really wish that the other two people on this show would read this series faster so we could talk about it. Because, my goodness, did that end on a cliffhanger.
What? That was a cliffhanger I was not expecting.
I wait for the trades, so.
Oh, I'm really hoping when it's over they do a super sexy deluxe hardcover
I'm suggesting another video segment. It's Wait for the Trades, and it's Josh giving really late comic book reviews.
I would love that. Be like, oh my god, guys, did you know Superman died back in the 90s?
guys, did you read The Dying and the Dead?
Because nobody else did.
But bum.
Oh man, guys. I just finished reading this book. They based a movie off of it. It's called Civil War. Very different than what Chris Evans.
Guys, Jean Grey is dead.
It's weird. The Punisher's in this for no reason.
Yeah, speaking of Jean Grey, Chris, are you reading X-Men Red?
I am, but I did not buy the annual because I don't buy Marvel annuals.
This was a very nice annual. It was basically Jean Grey going and meeting all the people that have popped up that are significant in her life since her death. Like her daughter from another dimension, Rachel, clone daughter of her former love, Logan, X-23. Talking to Iceman after what her future or former self did.
Yeah.
Going to the grave of Scott Summers and meeting Black Bolt, the man who killed him.
That sounds like a nice annual. And
It really was a nice annual. And normally there's very hit and miss. I 100% agree with you. I wasn't wowed on the art, but overall it was just really well done.
Okay. So, hey, Matt.
Yes.
Did you get Lazarus?
You damn right I did, son. Man, hot with that chemical warfare bullshit, huh?
I love that Lazarus, this issue was like it was a very slow issue, but it was also really good, like all the way through.
Yeah.
It's like a layer of brick on a house. It's solid, solid world building.
It tells such a good tale about the horrors of war told away from the actual front of the war.
You know, my favorite part of this issue is the Hawk family propaganda they pipe in.
Yes, where they constantly playing like it's a very this nation that we're part of is a very I don't want to say conservative traditional, but it is. And then they're hijacking all of their airwaves and playing hardcore porn as part of their propaganda. And like the porn stars are while they are telling them like, oh, come join us. You know, we know how to reward hardworking like people. And it's just nonstop like sex on the TV while their people are starving and dying of sickness, being like, man, if you come to our nation and join our cause, look what awaits you.
You're going to be nice and warm. It's really good propaganda. I really love it.
And I love the realization of why he didn't get sick.
Yes.
Because his bloodline was inoculated and everything because he's a part of the family. And that's why his son is alive too.
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
Yes, dear.
The Doomsday Clock is kind of interesting.
Man, see, the Doomsday Clock is great. But how long has it been since the last issue?
It's been a couple of months. And then there were issues with 6 where it got delayed and undelayed and re-delayed. So I'm not sure what cycle it's on right now.
But this is 5.
I know. 5 and 6 were a bundle.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like they said, like 5 and 6 are delayed. 5 and 6 are undelayed.
Oh, okay.
5 and 6 have been re-delayed.
Yeah, so I know Josh and Doug love this kind of stuff too, but man, this might be some of Jeff Johns' best work in ages.
I'm only on 4, but it definitely is.
5 is when it really starts. What?
You can talk about
it. I'm not going to spoil anything except saying 5 is when it really starts pulling in all of the DC universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys do know that I'm going to be waiting for the trade.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're going to review this. Yeah.
Like, I will say, the stuff with the forgotten DC elements that have been missing since Rebirth,
yeah,
52.
That's starting to happen.
They get addressed. Yeah.
Nice.
It's so dark.
That's and what pulled me in to the story that I didn't know I was going into. Which is a great tactic on John's point is to start with the DC universe and the Rebirth stuff, and then drop that fucking pin right.
Like,
blew me the fuck away, and I think the last time I was that like, oh my god, what was in a Watchmen comic? So I'm really, really happy with the way this is going.
It's incredible because there's a moment where Adrian,
yeah,
lets us know why Dr. Manhattan even started meddling in the DC universe and why everything that's happened since New 52 it can all be tied back to him. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And you know, and the thing is, I know I've forgotten so many things because if you know anything about Watchmen, it's like every issue, there are subtle clues and seeds for everything else. And when you have to go months and months between issues, I know I'm forgetting a lot of the nuances. So like Josh, I cannot wait for the trade to come out and I can read it in one burst.
Yeah.
Because this is a book that really gets done a disservice by these huge delays.
I don't know if there were delays between Watchmen issues, but I often think about that in reference to the fact that it came out originally as, what, 6 or 12?
It was 12.
12, yeah. 12 individual issues. Now, Alan Moore is usually not that late, but it is. They're very dense books. And I imagine there had to be a couple of, like, oh, it took.
I don't know, but at the same time, I feel like there probably wasn't because back then they probably didn't announce these things till they had such a buildup.
Yeah.
They could release things.
There may have been delays, but no one would know because there was nothing to tell them.
That's true.
Comics showed up when they showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Were the days.
Yeah, you went look at the newsstand, and if it wasn't there, you're like, oh.
If it's not, you had to go to the creepy card shop and look through the baseball card for the guy who gave you a comic.
And put up with the fucking baseball people.
Yeah.
Not to say baseball fans, but like the baseball card store owners.
Oh, are different. They're a different lot.
There was a place on Vets I used to go to play Yu-Gi-Oh at.
Oh, man.
It was the worst.
Ugh.
Not the place where I got stalked by a 5-year-old. That's a different place.
But I thought about it because like, I've only experienced Watchmen as a whole story. It's a novel to me. So then it occurs to me, oh, wait, this was issues. This was 1 year of comic storytelling. How did that play out? Because I watched Battlestar Galactica the same way I watched it on DVD the first 3 seasons. And then the last one I had to watch with commercials and like all these gaps, and it totally changed the way I saw the show. Because I was so exhausted by waiting in between, you know, elements. I can't imagine watching things like the Marvel shows that are on Netflix that way. But yeah, like so I wonder, like I also want to wait for the trade, but I'm not going to. I'm probably just going to keep rereading the early issues.
I mean, I think you should. It's too good.
Yeah, that's one of the only series right now that I can't wait for the trade. Like, the trades are usually how I come to things now because I just don't have the time to keep up anymore. Like, I will be getting individual issues, and then I'll lose a month to something, you know, work, whatever. And then I'll come back, and I won't even know where I am. I don't know where I am in the series anymore. Like, Saga, that happened to me. So I started just waiting for the trades because I did, like, I can get a bunch of it and catch up. And what was the other one that I did that with? Like, oh, Wicked and Divine, which is like my favorite comic right now.
Chris Stead hasn't read it. I don't know if you read the latest one, but the Wicked and Divine's latest issue blew my mind.
I am nowhere near it. I am reading the last trade that came out. So, because that's how far back it went. It was like, I could not keep up with this book. I went like 4 or 5 issues behind, and at that point,
is there an end for Wicked and Divine?
Yes, there is.
I get the sense that it's like Sandman. It's like 3 or 4 years or something.
Okay.
That they've already planned out how this story goes.
Okay, cool.
And see, that's what I love about Image books is because they're usually built in mind with an end. So you don't get these meandering, like, wastes of time.
Yeah, no, it's a story. They're 80s Vertigo.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Like, you know, they are, including, like, the creator-owned element, a lot of the Vertigo stuff that wasn't Swamp Thing or whatever was creator-driven, creator-owned, and was contained. You had a point that it was going to make over the course of 75 issues or whatever. Which, you know, Spawn was supposed to be, never did.
Yeah.
Get around to the point.
Yeah, Spawn should have ended probably around like issue like.
He said 100.
Yeah.
And he was going to change Spawns.
It wasn't going to be Al Simmons. That makes even more sense.
What did you hear about that?
Oh, Jamie Foxx playing Spawn?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. He's like, somebody was like, boo. And I was like, name a better case scenario right now.
Yeah.
The only thing better is Idris Elba, and I'm tired of him getting cast to not be British. And it's just he's Jamie Foxx is actually the bigger leading man.
Yeah, I think that works. I think that works more than
so anybody else right now. To me, it signifies you're actually going to have a real movie. Because when Tom McFarlane talks about this movie, I go, yeah, right, okay, Tom. Like, like, sure it is, pal.
When it happens, it happens.
Totally having a Spawn movie, yeah. Guy. And then he's like, you know, he's going to be like Sam and Twig, whatever, who's the pilot. I'm like, nobody wants to see a Sam and Twig movie. Yeah. And now I know Jamie Foxx is Spawn. It's not a Sam and Twig movie. That's getting rewritten too sweet.
Now we can say Academy Award winner Jamie Foxx in the role he was born to play.
Spawn.
What do you think he'll play White Spawn, though? You know, when he tries to heal his face. He's automatically a blonde white guy.
Oh, yeah.
It'll probably be Brad Pitt if cameos are going the way they're going.
What a great cameo that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen Deadpool yet because I know exactly what cameo this is for because it's been fucking spoiled more than enough.
Do you just know that he's in it or do you know what character and everything
else? No, I don't know what character he is. I just know it's, I don't know the context. I just know Brad Pitt's
in it. Well, we didn't really ruin it yet.
Is he playing Green Lantern?
Yes. Green Lantern? No, he's not Green Lantern.
I don't know.
No, there is a Green Lantern related thing, obviously.
Matt.
Yes, dear.
What are your thoughts on The Man of Steel? Did you get it?
I read it.
This is the first Bendis Superman thing that I've read because I didn't go back to Action 1000.
Right.
I just started fresh with this. And I have a positive and a negative.
All right, hit me.
I think the positive is I think he has a very good grasp of what makes Superman work. I think everything feels like a really good Superman comic in this particular scene of him in the burning building, him as Clark Kent. I think that's all very, very well done. And on the other hand, the con, and I'm reserving judgment on this, is he immediately took out Jonathan and Lois. And I don't know how that's going to end up. If he's going to just kind of banish them so he could write the Superman that he wants, the one without attachments, or he's going to bring them back by the end of this, and everything's going to be fine. So I'm not sure yet.
Well, it'll be interesting, and I'm kind of curious because much like Justice League No Justice, this is like a little mini event that's going to be brought out weekly with a rotating cast of artists.
Yeah. But I think for me, Bendis is on the right track with Superman. He's got – it feels like a really good Superman when he writes him.
I'm actually glad to hear that because I know you, of all people, are notoriously fickle.
I am pretty fickle.
Critical?
Yeah.
And also a big butt?
Well, that's just a speculation.
Josh is not feeling this.
I'm heavily critical of Superman writers because here's my thing. I think you have to be a really good writer. Like, you can be a pretty good writer and write a great Wolverine comic, but it takes a really good writer to write an okay Superman or Captain America book or Cyclops story. Like, you have to be fucking great to get people to like them. You have to truly understand the characters and what's appealing about them. You can't just come to it being a Batman fan and they get assigned a Superman story. Like, it's not going to work. Because Batman guys don't actually get Superman at all. They kind of hate him. So it's like the idea that we all know Bendis is a workhorse and probably gets it, you know. Obviously, it's good news to hear. He's one of the people that I thought maybe could do it. He's kind of been Marvel's Geoff Johns. He's not as good as Geoff Johns.
But. Pretty much. I mean, they were the two most prolific people of that era.
So it's going to be interesting. I might actually pick it up just to see if he does a good job with it.
I think it's worth at least examining this first issue and seeing if he fits how you think your version of Superman should go.
Yeah.
Because everyone has their own vision of Superman, and it's kind of fascinating because everyone knows what they think Superman should be, but not everyone's is the same.
Yeah,
like Zack Snyder's Superman is very different from like Grant Morrison's Superman.
Yeah. Well, Grant Morrison is someone who believes in magic and aliens. And
he's a weirdo. Yeah.
A crazy weirdo, but has the giant good heart, and I think is fundamentally right about people. Whereas Zack Snyder is Ayn Randian, so he believes there are people that are better than other people, and they deserve to get to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yep.
In case in point, he's going to do the Fountainhead next.
Hey, remember when Pa Kent died because he let a tornado kill him?
Yeah, because Clark is so important. And so much.
No, better. He wasn't. He could have made it.
No, I'm saying from Snyder's point of view, as an objectivist, Superman is like a rich person is in our world. And they deserve to get to do whatever the fuck they want. Superman can't be risked even a little bit to save Pa Kent's life.
Yeah.
Because he's too important. Which is why he's gotten it entirely wrong from step one. I mean, like, it's only going to get worse. It was only going to get worse. But at the same time, it was fixing itself, and then that's the one they decided to meddle in. So I don't slam this matter all the time, but, like, he's not a Superman person. He could have done another Batman movie by itself, you know.
His Batman was full of branding people, though. That's not okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought about it, and Snyder should have done a Spawn movie.
Oh, he would have been great. Just killing everything.
CG capes and killing everything and blowing giant holes through stuff.
And your chain.
And nobody's a good guy, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, yeah. That's how it would've been perfect.
That actually sounds pretty perfect.
Even the tone that he does, both literally in color and tone of the script, you know, would have been exactly right.
Yeah. That's the darkness.
The grim dark.
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
Yes, dear.
Last comic of the day. What do you think about Saga?
Oh, so good.
I guess this isn't a spoiler. The Will is back.
What a twist at that end, though.
Yeah. That character is such a piece of shit. And we never should have trusted them.
Nope, but we did.
We did. The thing with Squire and that awful Sarlacc they found.
Oh, man.
That was... You know what the most upsetting part of that is? That it has human teeth.
This part? Yeah.
I don't like that. I really, really don't like that.
Would it have been worse if it was a human vagina? Because I actually think that is what it is.
It does look like a
with teeth.
Matt, you know what? It does look like a virginer.
A Virginian?
A virginer. You got to do the hard R's on that.
You're not allowed to use the hard R's.
Virginer.
Hey, there's ladies present.
That's why I said virginer. It's not a real word. It just sounds like a real word.
Chris, you are the reason no one can have fun.
I don't know. I was having a pretty good time.
He was having a good time.
Chris, Matt, is there anything else you want to talk about from this week and everything?
No, but I do want to make sure everyone starts thinking about, because next week we're going to do our E3 prediction blowouts.
We should do an E3 bingo.
You already know what I want.
It's not about what you want. It's what you think will happen. Like, actually be practical. So if the words...
He doesn't get about predictions.
The Elder Scrolls 6 never leave your mouth.
I think he thinks predictions means ask for Santa for what you want.
The E3 Santa is going to give me a new
E3 Santa's giving you shit.
Well, fuck you.
E3 Santa is taking a crap in your stocking is what's happening.
E3 Santa says PUBG. 77. Look under your seats. It's a PUBG.
No, like if we, what I do want to do is I want to, we should all guess the amount of Battle Royale copycats copycat modes in major games that we will see.
Or a mode, like shoved up the ass in something else. Like
we know Call of Duty, Call of Duty has a Battle Royale mode.
Yeah.
Will Battlefield have a Battle Royale mode? I don't know. Far Cry? Will this new Starfield game? What other games will be announced? Is Red Dead Redemption 2 going to have a Battle Royale mode? We don't know. But I'm sure we'll find out.
Star Wars Battlefront PUBG.
And I want to find out. I want us to guess and predict how many.
Oh, yeah.
We should do a bingo.
You know what I want to do, Chris? Have you ever watched Easy Allies?
No.
The former Game Trailers people?
No.
Every year they do an E3 predictions thing. And they pick two people to do it. And the other two think of the questions. And they have to bet, and whoever gets the most points at the end of E3 wins.
What do they win?
Well, it's like one of those bets where you make the other person do something. Like for them, it's he hated a specific game, and he had to do a full playthrough while streaming it of that game type of thing. Mm. And I think we can come up with some good bets.
Okay.
So, like an example would be what I just said. Like, guess how many you'll have. Like a number, like 5. Do you think there'll be more or less Battle Royale modes announced at E3? And so, one of us picks above, one of us picks below.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm game.
And then if Matt loses, he has to do a live playthrough of Breath of the Wild
or Skyrim
enthusiastically.
Skyrim, oh my god. That's physically impossible because it's natural ambient. I will fall asleep. And then possibly tweet out something racist.
All fantasy is racist.
So, it's true. All my fantasy is racist.
Hey.
There's actual races in it.
I'm kidding. Get out.
I'm certainly okay with doing this.
Yeah, this sounds all right.
So you guys need to start thinking about your predictions for next week. And Josh, I swear to God, if the words Elder Scrolls 6 comes out of your mouth, I'm doubling what you owe me when you lose the bet.
Skyrim 2.
That's probably more likely.
Skyrim. Battle Royale.
100 Dragonborn parachute down onto the field.
Why?
Oh, speaking of, here's some more news that got dropped today. So Walmart is the leak that doesn't stop leaking. Remember last time when they leaked Rage and they leaked DC Supervillains, which also got confirmed today? What?
Yeah.
Borderlands 3 got leaked? Is that what we're...
No, no.
Borderlands 3's existence got leaked, but it will not be at E3. Gearbox confirmed that. Microsoft's Perfect Dark Zero or Perfect Dark reboot got outed by Walmart today.
You think it'll have a jump button?
It's going to be a third-person game, so who knows what it's going to be about. It's not going to be a first-person shooter.
Waste time.
Womp womp. Also, Gears of War is going to get a tactical spinoff, like XCOM style.
God.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, there's that, Chris.
Yeah, I said cool.
Yeah.
But you said cool in a non-very believable way.
Yeah, it is. I stand by it.
You did it in a very Chris way.
Stand by it.
When I say cool, I mean who could possibly care?
Yeah, good.
You know what I personally really enjoy so far is that when Bethesda was teasing that stuff and everyone was so convinced it was a Fallout 3 remake, people on Reddit like staked the claim on it and made like bold claims like, if it's not this, I'll do this. And then today a lot of those people followed through. Like one person was like, I will guzzle this giant bottle of Tabasco. And then there's a YouTube video of him doing that and violently throwing up.
If you're going to make a wager like that online, follow through.
Oh, man.
I don't make dumb wagers online.
Yes, you do.
No.
Yeah, you do.
Never happened.
Always.
I have a prediction. This is going to be a shitty year for
Six.
I don't think so at all. 2018 is shaping up to be one of the best. 2017, 2018, and then what we know about 2019?
I mean 2019. I don't mean this year. I mean 2019.
2019 is going to be great.
I don't know.
Josh.
I don't know.
Josh.
Kim.
Why would it not be?
I just.
Kim.
Battle Royale.
Oh, it'll be dead by that point.
I hope so.
Oh, it will be.
I really.
The bubble is going to burst.
The bubble is always going to burst. But when?
Think about when that survival crafting game thing started. How many of them are left? No. Steam is littered with the bones of dead survival games.
Oh, Chris, you want to know how many are left?
Once these games can't come out anymore, it's because we'll be playing PUBG for real.
Chris, you want to know how many survival games are left?
How many?
Plus one, because that's what Vault 76 is.
Hey, real quick, have you played Too Human, Beyond Human? Being Human?
You mean Detroit?
Well, whatever. One of them.
I picked it up. I'm actually planning on starting it tonight.
We played the demo, though.
I have been watching it on stream. I think it is better than I expected it would be.
Is easily, from what I can tell and gathered from people that have already beaten it, David Cage's the Quantic Dream's best game. And I think a big part of that is because David Cage is not the sole writer. It's like going from
credits. You watch the credits. He's the only writer.
I know, but that's like Kojima level hubris. The point is, he's not. It's like George Lucas going from the prequels back to the originals.
It's true. So yeah, maybe he broke the curse.
We'll see.
I also downloaded Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon.
Yes, I'm waiting for the console version.
Really cool.
I got it on the Switch. It's very, very good.
Waiting on my free copy.
Wait, no, not Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, the retro one that came
out. Yeah, I know which the one that's from Bloodstained Curse of the Moon.
Yeah, Bloodstained, whatever. Ritual of the Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really cool. It looks like a great Castlevania early.
There's two things that recommend it. Number one, it is a very good Castlevania. Number two, it's got a stupid baby easy mode.
Oh, perfect.
Lives. Yeah, it is. I'm actually playing it. I played about a good half an hour of it the other night.
I'm really proud of you, buddy.
I'll take my victories where I can get them. Thank you. I'm not shamed.
Good job.
I don't feel shame.
We know. You're a big boy.
All right. So, anything else you want to talk about, buddy?
Nope.
All right. Cool. I guess we did it then.
Yep, we did it. Final words. I do have a final word, guys, before we sign off. And okay. Chris, promise me you sign off after I say this.
Wait, hold on. Before you do that, let me get this point across.
Okay.
We made a whole show on our own without leaning on IGN, and I think that deserves a round of applause.
It does.
for us not having to steal their work and shit all over it.
You mean making it better?
We didn't actually redo their list, so we didn't make it better. We just said, that's a bad place for that.
Made it better. I do want to work on our own list, though.
Well, it's going to take some time.
I know.
It's going to take a long time.
We got E3 coming. We got no time for shenanigans. Josh, I'm ready to stop as soon as you say
I think, that. Josh, wait, Josh, is this going to be what you mentioned in text?
It might. So what I have to say, and I just want to say.
Why so high?
And I don't think Firefly was a good show.